Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream. In the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. Hike all the way down to the southern state. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the link to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Hey.
Well, peace and blessings. You have reached the Bree Life Radio Show. And I'm joined tonight with my co-host and brother-at-arms, Mark Setti. Mark, I know you're out there. Peace and blessings, brother.
Well, peace and blessings, sister. I am out here. I am out here in the H-Town.
Mark in the Setti. Atmosphere.
The atmosphere. Yes, indeed. We out here in the atmosphere, y'all.
Everything is fantabulous. Fantabulous.
And definitely want you honest now. Want you honest. So let's keep it honest.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Well, before we jump in, why don't we do a little bit of freestyling? You know how we do it. Tonight, our topic is going to be about our dream mate. What does that look like? What does he or she look like? What he sound like? What he feel like? What is this individual in our mind like? And are we aligned with them? Or have we ever been aligned with them?
Yeah.
But before we jump into that topic, is there any current events or anything on your mind you want to just bring forth to our listening audience?
Well, tattoo has been heard, I guess.
I'm sorry? I beg your pardon?
Tattoo has been heard. Someone heard tattoo.
Someone heard tattoo.
Tattoo, yeah. You know tattoo. Come on, now. Everybody knows tattoo. The plane.
Oh, okay.
The plane.
So they found a plane.
Somebody's heard them. Well, I don't know. I said apparently. That's apparently. I mean, they think they know the area now, and, you know, it's crazy. I've never heard of such a thing. It's just, you know, but, you know, one thing about it is since the majority of the earth is water, and our water is vast and dense and deep, I suppose you could lose a plane. My only thing about it is that with our satellites, in this day and age of technology, it would amaze me that we wouldn't have some way of seeing minute by minute the developments of this plane going down. I mean, you know, it's like if we just recall, even if we believe the area is a certain area, if we went back those many days and looked at our satellite pictures over that period of time, we should be able to see what was going on. We should see, I would think, but hey, I guess our technology is not what I thought it was, and therefore we cannot find a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And they say right now they believe it's off the coast of about 1,300 miles off the coast of Australia, some kind of way. So, I think that's quite interesting. And then, you know, we had this unbelievable fire down here today in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
the crazy part about this fire down here is this new apartment complex. We talk about a couple hundred, maybe, well, I don't know, maybe 200 units altogether, the luxury apartments. Now, the crazy thing about this fire is yesterday
uh-huh.
on the news, because it's being built, it's not totally finished being built yet, but yesterday on the news, they were showing why it's built right back-to-back with this very old cemetery. And the people uh-huh. are really mad. They said it was sacrilegious. They said it was not very caring that when they went to the cemetery to see Grandma Margaret and bend down and put the flowers down and maybe even cry, they got people sitting back, you know, barbecuing and whatever, looking right down on them. Because it was about, I guess, 7 stories or something like that. So you could look down mm-hmm. off your terrace, and you got these people at the, cemetery. So these people are upset. Mind you, they were a bunch of white people, too. So, I mean, that's kind of interesting. But they got permission to build the building, and so the people at the cemetery have been arguing back and forth, saying they don't want this here, they don't want this here, they don't want this here. And yesterday, they did a segment on the 10 o'clock news here about
uh-huh.
that very apartment building adjacent to the cemetery. So, much to my surprise, at 11 o'clock, closer to 12 o'clock this morning, the news breaks in and says, you know, we got this 3-alarm fire. And lo and behold, it's the same apartment building that the people were upset about.
Wow.
I mean, it was a fire. It was huge. And I'm sitting there saying, wow. So I guess the power of positive thinking, huh? I don't know. do you think that the spirits of the people that was in the cemetery, what do you think? They have something to do with it?
I have no idea what's going on, but it would seem like the whole world is going through some terrible, I don't want to seem like a end of days conspiracy theorist, but the entire world seems to be burning up, sliding, raining, the snow, the snow. I really hope that we're going to miss the snow tonight. I don't know if you're aware, Mark, but we're supposed to get 1 inch to 3 inches of snow
mm-hmm.
from
mm-hmm.
now into sometime next morning. And I'm just,
yeah.
If anyone follows me on my personal Facebook page, all I have is this picture of Lucy from the Peanuts, and it says, it's snowing, this is some bullshit. I'm sick to death of the snow.
You chose to live in New York. You chose to live in New York, so I don't know.
That's
why
I
was telling
you.
Well, you know,
listen,
we are where we
that.
Are. Especially at our age, it's my choice. We're choosing to stay where we stay. So, and you know, March and snow in New York is not the most unusual thing. Unfortunately, it's just been an unusual winter. But snow in, you know, New York. I mean, the last time I was in New York, which was 7 years ago, in this very month of March, it was snow,
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, it's not unusual. It's just the fact that you're getting so much, like back-to-back.
And then,
on top of that, they're talking about a record warm year. So if it's record warm, unfortunately, a lot of places are going to be getting into a flooding situation coming to April.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be rapid thaw, and that's going to be another problem. But it was an interesting story that I wanted to talk about. That happened in your backyard. So two times within a week, or 7 days or so, the security has been breached of the World Trade. I mean, what's that about?
Yeah, we had a 14-year-old. Yeah. who woke up who woke up the security guard that was getting paid like $100 an hour to secure the rooftop at the World Trade Center. Well, we know he was fired. He was let go immediately.
Yeah, well.
And then we have
more of his comrades were let go then.
Right. Oh, yeah. Not just that gentleman. A whole bunch of people were let go. You know, that, I mean, well, that just goes to show you that as secure as we may think our buildings are, our airports are, our train stations are, I mean, you know, I often think about that when I'm riding New York City, you know, MTA, that anything could happen down here. Anything can happen down here. I don't care how many police officers they put down in the train station. It's just not a very secure place in my opinion. And I try not to take the train as little as I possibly can. I have a fear of confined spaces and I'm very claustrophobic. I was subject to the World Trade Center, but thank God, you know, I was spared because my son was starting preschool the day that I was supposed to go to work in to World Trade. But for a period of time, I refused to take employment in Manhattan, living in Long Island, and having to commute there because I was scared to get on a train and possibly something happened and I'm stuck underground. That just, you know, for many years, it took a long time for me to begin riding the train.
Well, you know, here's the thing about this whole issue of security. I mean, security is a psychological state. It's not really real. And we believe what we believe about it. And the fact that you're doing something too secure is letting me know that it's not secure. It's just a matter of who understands how to maneuver whatever it is. So, I mean, it's always an illusion, you know. And so every once in a while when something happens, then we get snapped back into the fact that, you know, anything can always happen to anybody. It's kind of like I remember speaking of the World Trade Center, I told my son, I remember, because he had a fear of flying. I said, well, if you think about this, the majority of people that died in the World Trade Center did not die in the plane. They were on the ground. So guess what? Think about how many people were in the World Trade Center that may have been afraid of flying. We're not even flying. Because their fear of flying was that the plane was going to crash and that they could die in the crash. And the tripped out part about it was they didn't fly and they still died. So, you know, that's why it's so important to live your life from a standpoint of just being energetic and happy about what you're trying to do, and you know, because if you add, here's the other side of it. The other side of it is, if it ain't time, then your fear is just freaking you out because you ain't going yet anyway. So you might as well let it go. I know it's easy to say that, especially if you've been living a life where you've held on to a lot of fears because of, again, not making light of anything, but people have traumas, and we know we're talking about post-traumatic relationships, disorder of post-traumatic stress, and any other phobias.
Which we're going to get into tonight. Because we do have to finish up our PTRD, post-traumatic relationship disorder conversation. We have to, you know, before we close out the show tonight, I really, really want to talk about that because there's a couple of things I want to freestyle about. And as a matter of fact, after the commercial break, which we'll take in a few minutes, I'm going to do my first freestyle for the year. And it's going to be very interesting.
For the year? You haven't said anything the whole time we've done the show. You ain't said anything that you've gone on for a decent period of time about how you felt about something.
Well, if we're just going to talk about me as a whole, you know, I'm always freestyling, but this is going to be my first.
There you go.
But this is going to be my first official freestyle flow.
Official.
For the
official.
Yes, official freestyle flow
official.
For the
beautiful
new year.
Official Official is beautiful.
Yeah. So what else you got, Mark?
Well, beyond that, I mean, that's kind of the only thing that, a couple things that really caught my attention. You know, like I said, the fire down here and the folks, you know, jumping from the World Trade and the little boy and, of course, the plane. Those were some things that really.
The plane.
I mean, and as far as a freestyle, I mean, the topic for today, even though it's not a freestyle, I mean, it's not a problem for me to freestyle about the topic because the topic is something that definitely interests me because I am clearly aware that people have created ideas about this person, whoever this person is. And so
what person? What person, Mark, might that be?
You know, Mark Carey had a song. What was that song? Mariah Carey, Dream Lover,
Four
Dream Lover.
Fun
facts. Not the four fun facts to keep your love intact. Not the four fun facts. Four fun facts. You are hilarious.
God.
Anyway, so, no, you know, it's the Dream Lover, that dream, you know, because, and so I won't, it's not so much that I'm a freestyle, but I definitely want to talk about get into this subject because it's one that has fascinated me for quite some time. I've written about it before on my blog. I've also put together this thing called A Day in the Life of the Dream, or the Date of Your Life, so to speak. And the date of your life would represent the dream person. And that is a person that I think is quite interesting because that dream person is a person that's supposed to assist you in creating a life or a scenario in life that's supposed to be beneficial and rewarding, enjoying, and et cetera, et cetera. So definitely is something that has always fascinated me because the fact that most of us that listen to our show, I'm clear our demographic is 40-plus, black, male, and women. So I know that all of us have had a idea of someone that would have been what we believe would be preferable for us, and especially in comparison to all of those who we had that didn't quite pan out for us.
Uh-huh.
Now, I would be surprised to find out how many people would have said that Johnny or Jill were their dream relationship person, date, guy, girl, and then they didn't turn out to be. I wonder how many people would say that. I would gander that the vast majority would say, no, they weren't, which is quite interesting too. But having said that, I think that the idea of the dream guy or girl is one that we feel would solve a lot of our problems because I am convinced that our relationships that have not panned out quite like we wanted them to, whether we take responsibility for them not working out, or, you know, we would say that other person could have done X, Y, and Z many times. I mean, sometimes we know clearly that we messed up, but most of the time we feel that the other person, and usually they weren't the dream. They weren't Idris Elba, whatever his name is. It wasn't Denzel Washington, it wasn't Halle Berry, it wasn't whoever this person was. This person was not that person, I'm sure, you know. And the thing about it is not only when we mention things like Idris Elba or Denzel or one of those other people, because those people, we have created stories about them too, because we know we don't know those people. So any woman that wants to be with Idris Elba, she wants to be with him partially because of what he looks like and the types of roles that he plays. And
okay, okay. You know what, Mark? You're getting deep.
Let me say this.
You're getting deep.
Yeah, but let me just say this real quick. Or maybe even a couple interviews that you saw. So you put an interview or two, a role, and some pictures, and that's why you want to be with this guy. Which calling in and knowing nothing about this man, because you don't know him. So you haven't even fantasized the fantasy guy, because you don't even know him. So what
okay.
you're doing is you're looking at what he looks like, you're looking at all these other things, and then what you're saying is you're hoping that based upon what old boy looks like and how he acts, that he'll have all those other things. He'll be caring, considerate. He'll be giving. He'll listen. He'll make love to you the right way. You just know he'll do all those things. You don't know him, but you figure a guy that looks like that, that plays a role like that, surely he's got to be a great man to have. And others will keep it real. Baby, I don't really care. He can just sit on my couch. I can just look at him.
Well,
so,
all righty now. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back to that topic. But before we talk about the dream mate, we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, your beloved Bree, she's going to freestyle. And she has two very interesting things that she wants to freestyle for tonight. So this is going to be her official first two 2014 freestyle for the new year. So just hold on to your hats, people. Inhale and breathe light. We're going to take this commercial break, and we will be right back.
Why do you spin out of control? Why do you keep down a road that you know leads to a dead end? Why did you see the end from the beginning but proceed anyway? Your sixth sense, your inner eye, your foresight is a built-in indicator which lets you know what's best for you. So why do you go against what you know, what you sense is correct? Along your life, you will commit errors based on ignorance and being uninformed. So why do you act in error even when you are well-informed? I know I shouldn't be here. I know I shouldn't be doing this. Yet, you are here and, you are doing it. It begs the question, do you really know? Or are you that arrogant that you believe somehow you can alter a no-win situation? Even when you start down this road to nowhere, you are given options to turn around. Yet, you put your pedal to the metal. But why? Why? Is there really a point of no return? Or just a person that won't return? Anybody out there know this person? I know this person, as Mark said it, in under a minute.
Or a little bit more.
It's Bree Life in the house. It's Bree Life in the house.
Move the crowd, hype, not move the crowd, hype, not I'm in, not I'm in, not I'm in, not I'm in.
That's right. Crown Heights is in full effect tonight. You have entered the realm of Bree Life Radio, and I'm your girl Bree, and I'm
zone.
And that's right. And you are listening to Bree Life with Bree, myself, and Mark said it. And tonight we're talking about the dream mate. But as I promised you before the commercial break, I have two things tonight that I want to freestyle about. One in particular, I had a very, very funny thing happen last week. I was going to dinner with a friend of mine, and as I was getting ready, I was being texted by someone who I went out on a date with last summer. Let me start the story over. Two weeks ago, I went out to dinner with some girlfriends of mine, and I met a woman, very nice woman, and we became Facebook friends by the end of the evening. Well, end of that weekend, I saw some of her posts. She put a picture up. She was out to dinner with a couple. She was out with a gentleman, and she was with another couple. And when I looked at the gentleman that she was sitting next to, I was like, oh, my God, I dated this guy. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is going to be an awkward situation because I could see me and this woman becoming friends. I wonder if she's involved with him, she's just friends, what the deal is, but I'm going to mind my business. I'm not going to say anything. So that was Sunday. By Thursday, I had received, now I haven't heard from this same guy for about 9 or 10 months because, again, last summer we went on one date. He's an all right guy, not my type. I had a pleasant time. We went to have ice cream. All was good. So about an hour later, I see a text, and it's from this guy that I hadn't heard from in 10 months, and it's the guy that was in that picture sitting next to this very nice woman that I'm becoming friends with. And I'm like, oh, my God, what is this? And he texted me and said, Sabrina, I still think that you're the most beautiful woman in the world. I was like, oh, boy, here we go. So now I got to say something because I'm a woman first. I'm a woman all day. And now I got to out somebody. So I text my new friend and asked her if she could call me because I needed to talk to her about something. And when she got on the phone, I said, this may seem a little awkward, but, you know, something has happened, and, you know, I need to tell you because, again, I'm a woman first. I believe in the sisterhood, and I believe in being honest. I don't like inappropriate situations, being in the middle of them, and I just want to put it out there. I asked her who that guy in the picture to her was. She told me, oh, it's a guy that I'm dating. We're getting to know one another. And I let her know that he had just texted me. Now, what I want to know is, and here we have talked on the Bree Life Radio Show about relationships and communication and being clear with what the intentions of being in this new dating / relationship thing that you're entering in and putting all your cards on the table. Here's a perfect example of someone not being forthright. Now, listen, I don't want to get no emails, no Facebook messages that I'm men bashing because I'm not. Because, as you know, I try to stay in that biased place, unbiased place, to be fair on both sides. But again, I'm a woman first. Can you please explain to me what in the world is he texting me for if he's seeing someone and telling me I'm still the most beautiful woman in the world? Now, had I responded to that text message favorably, he would be trying to date me. I know it. I know it as clearly as I know the sky is blue. So what do you have to say about that freestyle, Mark?
I mean, I'm confused at what the problem is.
Excuse me? What the problem is? Why are you confused? I said this is a man that was dating a woman who is an acquaintance of mine. But now, all of a sudden, out of the blue, he's texting me and telling me how beautiful I am and asking me, inquiring how I'm doing and all of that stuff. I think that's very inappropriate. If you're dating someone, if you're in a relationship with someone, I mean, kind of like how we talked last, I think it might have been last week, Mark, when we were ending the show and you was talking about if you're involved with someone and you were seeing someone and you broke up, you know, can you be friends with them? Well, it's still in the same realm. You know, if you're seeing someone, you don't have no business reaching out to other women that you might have been interested in.
Says Bree. He
says Bree.
Right. He didn't feel that way.
That's obvious.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So when you have a differing opinion and a different way of living your life, then you do it. Then you obviously would be doing it differently than someone obviously that didn't align with you. So you did what you thought was best, just like he did what he thought was best. So I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. So say you're dating someone, and
okay,
now they're starting to reach out to random people. Now,
mm-hmm,
you putting your time, your energy, your money, you know, your body all into this person, but now they're, but little do you know, this person is really not down for you because they dipping out, they talking to other people. I mean, how would that make you feel?
Again, how I feel and whether they can do what they do is two different things. So that's what I'm saying. So you're mixing up two different things. I mean, he did what he felt he wanted to do, even though it was against what maybe his girl or date or whatever it felt, you know. And because of that, when you got wind of that, especially when he was trying to do it with you, you did what you thought was best for you.
Well, you know what, callers? You know what, listeners? I want you to call in. 347-826-7119. I'd be very interested to know what you think about that freestyle. We're moving right along. My next freestyle is very interesting,
Some odd reason, seems like we lost something happened to Bree, and hopefully she'll be back in shortly. But in the meantime, I want to talk a little bit about the topic for the day, which is the dream person, this whole dream person scenario thing. And, you know, and it came to my mind, like I started out when I was talking about, you know, if the dream person came into your life.
Okay.
It would be.
Hello.
Are you
I'm sorry.
Are you
know,
back?
It wouldn't be Brew Life Radio if we didn't have some technical difficulties. So I apologize to the listeners for me getting cut off.
Okay. So you can hear me, right?
Yes, I can hear you.
Well, I'll back up off of that. I was getting ready to start in taking place because I know she had gotten cut off, but we'll come back to this. You can finish.
Oh, okay. I apologize. So today, this morning when I woke up, my usual routine is to do some floor exercises as I'm doing. So I'm watching Good Morning America. And on Good Morning America, they did a segment on Alicia Keys and Swiss Beatz and his ex-wife and how they took their children on vacation, which I thought that was very progressive, that the current wife, the ex-wife, and the husband, ex-husband in common, could do that. But they did that for their children to show that co-parenting at its best is always a healthy thing and always in the best interest of their children. And which kind of segues into my own personal growth. As I might have mentioned, last month was my son's 17th birthday, and we decided this year that we were going to celebrate his birthday upstate with his friends, along with his father and his new stepmom. And first of all, it was a wonderful celebration. My son was very, very happy, and one of the things that he was most happy about is because he knows that his parents love him a lot and put him first. Have whatever happened in the past and the unpleasant things have all been put to rest, and now we can be a healthy co-parenting unit to make sure that our son gets the best support system possible. And one of the people who has been integral in helping that relationship grow and contributing to the wellness of the whole co-parenting situation is Glenn's new stepmom, Tia. Over the last year, I have had the pleasure of getting to know her, and one thing I can honestly say is that I'm very happy that she is my son's stepmother. She loves my son as though he's her own. She doesn't treat my son any different than her own biological children. She is the core that makes that whole situation work well up there. And my son is the benefactor of that. And just going up there last month and seeing that for myself and her welcoming me into the whole fold, and there not being one iota of tension, I'm blessed. And I can honestly say that I am a product of showing that when people grow up and they put what's important first in this situation, meaning their children, this situation can work well, be healthy, and most of all, be beneficial to your child or children. I didn't know that it would ever be this way. I was always open to the idea of it, but I can honestly say that I'm happy that we are in this healthy space, that we could break bread, that we love our son, and he's blossoming and growing, just knowing that there's no tension with his parents, that his mom is comfortable with the whole thing, and he feels comfortable communicating with all three of us. Whatever I'm not available for him to talk to, he could talk to her, and she gives him good advice because she's a pretty nice woman. And, you know, on the Bree Life Radio show, I just want to say thank you, Tia, for being who you are, because I love my son very, very much. And for him to be so far away from me and not be able to see him every day, I know that even when his dad is away, that he's still being taken care of by someone that loves him and that's given him good advice. So that's for you. And that's my freestyle, my official freestyle for 2014.
Oh.
Oh, don't even go there.
Oh, that's like kinder, gentler Charmin lady.
Excuse me?
Hey, everybody in the audience, if you're next to somebody, give them a hug.
Oh, cut it out. No, but you have to know, and I mean, Mark, you were a single parent, and you know, I don't know what the dynamic was with you and your ex-wife and your children, but that new person in the mix with your significant other, your ex-significant other or your ex-husband or your ex-wife, you have no idea what type of influence, be it good or negative that they can have on the whole co-parenting situation, especially if the person that you are no longer coupled with is easily influenced by what somebody else says. So that situation has been tense in the past because of the dynamic of the other person, the energy that the other person brought to the situation, but I'm glad to say, and thank God, I'm counting down. I got 11 more months for the whole thing, but for whatever time is left and whatever time moving forward, you know, with, especially like in 10 years, 10, 12 years when I become a glam mom, you know, I won't mind engaging with this individual because it's always what's in the best interest of Glenn, you know. And if anyone that hears the sound of my voice that's been divorced or separated from an ex where they have children in common, they know how stressful that situation is by itself. Then you add the ingredient of a new person that has some resentment towards you, maybe because of what the other person might have said about you. So now they have their own opinion. And then they're making that situation even more complicated. It's not easy. I've been on both sides of that, and I'm telling you, I'm a blessed woman for all that I've been through. Here we are now. I'm at my breakthrough with another positive thing. This is a positive thing, and I wanted to do this freestyle because there's a lot of people out there that don't know the comfortability that I have because they can't get over themselves to put their children first. So I am just a shining example that it can happen, especially when all parties involved are doing what's right. So that's my freestyle.
And I will say again, aw.
Cut it out. You a big dildo.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Oh, okay, people. So this is the Bree Life Radio Show, and we're about to get in it. This topic was a topic that was near and dear to our beloved Mark Sedit's heart, and he felt that it was necessary to talk about the things that have us looking at who we're coupled with. And if we actually wound up with our dream mate, or if we're looking for our dream mate, what is our dream mate supposed to look like? What are they supposed to be like? So, Mark, take it from here.
Well. So, pre-life audience, I kind of feel like the old Arsenio, you know, the things that make you say, And that's one of the things that kind of made me say, the other day. I wrote something a while back on my blog. It was called A Day in the Life with the Mate of Your Life. And it was going to be an experiment that I wanted to do. Never launched it, though, really, as an experiment. Would love to, for someone out there that might want to take the chance or the opportunity to find this out. But I'll read this to you. This is what I wrote. It said, A Day in the Life with the Mate of Your Life Experiment. Have you ever wondered how it would be to be the person of your dreams? Calls. Question. Call. Are you there?
Hello?
You're making, Call, I hear some noise. I don't know if something was going like, I don't know.
Oh, I apologize. I'm here.
Okay. All right, so let me finish. Okay. Have you ever wondered how it would be to be with the person of your dreams, the kind of person that understood you almost better than you understood yourself? This person would have the physical attributes, character attributes, belief system that you had. This person had almost identical feelings when it came to time management, intimacy, recreational activities, and politics. The two of you shared similar work schedules, including days off and holidays. Have you dared to wonder about this person? Have you prayed for or wished for them to manifest? While appearing on the radio show, I was involved in a conversation discussion that explored the statement, women don't know what they want. This statement made me wonder if men or women, for that matter, really know what they want. Could it be that they both know what they want, but doubt if they could have what they want when it comes to a prospective mate? Sometimes when talking to people, it appears to me that they would prefer a mate that was a mind reader and one who might even know what they wanted before they knew, someone that could intuit their desires in the moment. I think most would agree they don't know how they'll feel tomorrow, but when they become aware of how they feel and what they want their mate to make the immediate adjustments and accommodations. I'm sure that most would say they don't want someone like a concierge, however. They wouldn't turn them down either. Because of my curiosity concerning that, what people want in relationships, I came up with an idea for an experiment. I would like those of us who desire a relationship to do this, give a play-by-play granular account of how a day with your ideal mate would look like. Participants would have the same work schedule with the same travel time. In this experimental day, participants would describe how their day with this mate would start, i.e. with a kiss, a hug, etc. They would have similar work break times and lunch times. When work was over, they would be free to do what they pleased with them. They would describe their after-work activities. Would they sit down for dinner? Would they cook? Would they go out for dinner? What would happen after dinner? Detail is very important in this experiment because it can be very revealing and helpful, as it would reveal how you feel you'd like to see your interactions with your prospective mate. Is touch and conversation really important to you? Would you rather sit together quietly in front of the television or by the side of the lake? How important is getting in bed together? Do you mind if your mate is fast asleep when you get ready for bed? Is sex important before you turn in? Again, these are just prompts. You, no doubt, will have your own list of things that are preferable to you. Remember, this is an experiment, and it's based on the most ideal situations. Feel free to create the scenario that best fits you and your wants and needs. So, when I wrote that, and that was like 2 years ago when I did that, it came to my mind. I was just thinking, like, man, you know, what would that be like? So, recently it came to my mind again, and a friend of mine told me a story, and the story that she told me was interesting because it was about a guy that she had dated for she didn't date the guy. So I had a little bit confusion about it because I was like, I'm thinking like a man. So I said 9 months with a woman, that's like the time a baby would be born. So 9 months this woman was with this guy. Now, she explained to me she did not date him, that he was very interested in her, that they went out probably twice a week with each other, and they would go to, like, you know, concerts, dinner, club, whatever. She told me for the 9 months there was no intimacy. They had no intimacy whatsoever, that he wanted a relationship with her, but she didn't at that time want a relationship with him, but she thought he was a great guy and everything. I don't recall exactly why they parted ways, but this is what I do know. The reason I know about it is because she was telling her boyfriend or this guy that she was liking, she was telling him that when he wouldn't do something at one point, she had just mentioned, she said, you know, my friend, I'm just going to give him a name, Frank. My friend Frank would have come and did X, Y, and Z, or whatever the case may be. Because what she said was, I think what she was telling me was that the guy that she was kind of seeing or starting to date had asked her to meet him at a movie theater after work because it was closer to him and it would have been quicker for him to get to the movie theater and meet her there than go all the way to her house, which was another additional maybe 20, 25 minutes past the movie theater. And so it was about the same amount of time. It was about the same amount of time that it would have taken to get to the theater for her that it would have taken for him to get to the theater if she had went. So at that moment, she said, well, Frank wouldn't have done that. So I was tripping when she told me that. She told the guy, I said, why you told that guy that? And she said, yeah, she said, well, I just was saying because he was asking me something that was kind of interesting to me because I would have, you know, thought he would have, regardless of how much it would have took him to do it, he'd come and get me because this guy, Frank, he actually drove twice the amount of time when I was sick even to bring me some medicine. And we didn't even have an intimate relationship. Now, I don't know, I'm trying to think. She might have mentioned that they actually really dated, but I'm confused because all I could think of was, if you see this man twice a week for 9 months, there is no intimacy, you've never been to his house, he's briefly sat in your house waiting for you all to go out. I wanted to take his pulse. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just to, you know, she wasn't digging him.
Okay, well, wait a minute.
She wasn't digging him. She wasn't digging him, and I don't know that is, I mean, the 90-day rule, okay, but we're talking about 9 months? No. That's
okay, let me finish. Let me finish the story. So, any case, so she dated him or saw him, or some kind of whatever they were doing, because it was crazy enough to me, because I'm thinking to myself, a red-blooded man, number one, there's no sex, there's no initiation of sex, 9 months, no, none of that, number one. Number two, there's no level of commitment, but I'm going out with you. And again, when I say spending money, I'm not putting the premium on the money because it doesn't really make a difference. But I'm saying I am doing things which is causing me to go out of my way. Even if I don't mind going out of my way, I'm going out of my way on a consistent basis for you. And you're telling me you don't want a relationship with me. Now, I know men are willing to, you know, go on for the hunt. And if they really like someone, they might try to hang in there. But I'm saying 9 months when none of this stuff happens at all. Now, why am I telling you all this? Let me tell you why. Because this is what she said afterwards to me. Basically, he was a dream guy. And she later, I guess, tried to even find him. I don't know what happened to him. He disappeared. She could not find him any longer. But he had everything that she believed she would want in a relationship. And, again, I'm not 100% clear if she felt that during the time of their interacting, dating, or whatever it was that they were doing, that he was that guy. But after the fact, she did feel that way, and she mentioned to me that she even looked for him. She couldn't find him. But she thought he was the ideal guy, the dream guy. And from what I understood, since that point, she never met a guy that actually ever was that dream guy again. Like that. Okay, so it made me think. I said, wow, okay, so all of these people have dreams. You know, we all come up with these ideas of who she would be. And like I said earlier when I started talking, we were talking about, you know, Idris Elba. You know, we talked about the Rock, Dwayne Johnson. We talk about, you know, any number of actors and actresses that we have these ideas about. But most of us would say, you know, if we were forced to come close to somebody that really embodied everything that we could have thought was on our list, we might be able to, we probably can't say not one person. This woman came in contact with that guy and let him go. Let him go. Okay? So now it made me think, well, how many of us are able or are willing to do without our dream? How many of us? And that's why when I go back to that that I wrote 2 years ago, it made me think about the whole idea of the dream. God, if you created a day. Now, when I talked to her, she said she had that day every day. The only thing that didn't happen was there was no intimacy in those days. That was it. But everything else was inclusive of what she wanted to see in a guy. From his mannerisms, from his caring, his concern, he was a guy that would clean up your house, do everything, do everything for you.
Okay.
Goodness, I can't. That's one thing I can't stand about this new technology of mine. This new technology of mine is irritating me. Yeah, this is a new technology, man. This new technology is great when it's great, but when it's not great, it is horrible. But anyway, so back to my point. So I'm thinking about this, and I have a question. I said, so what happens if you were, I don't know, with somebody?
Mm-hmm.
You were the non-dream guy or dream girl.
Right.
And then my next question would be, what do you do if you find out that you are not your girl or guy's dream girl or guy? Now, I am aware, and most people may say, and I would love my callers to jump in and talk about this because this will be interesting to hear, but most people don't get the opportunity to be told about their girl or guy's dream person anyway, because usually you keep that kind of hush. You know, because the idea would be, baby, you're my baby. And my baby, in your mind, creates an image of you're the best person for me. Well, maybe it ain't. Maybe it's just a term of endearment. And maybe it don't mean that you that one. You know what I'm saying? Because most of us will say, especially in the dating process, that we like certain things that we do like about the person, but we want to see how it evolves and unfolds because we have that intangible that makes us feel connected to us, but then behaviors, mannerisms, and different ideas, conversations may not always line up, but we still feel something for that person that we really like that feeling that we have for them.
Okay, so ultimately, what's the question you're asking me? So I can chime in on this.
I asked you, what do you do when you're in a relationship and you're the non-dream person?
Well, I think we all enter in relationships. I think it's like the 99% versus the 1%. I believe that most of us don't enter in relationships that we're with our dream person. I believe that we go in with certain expectations or hopes that they'll come very close. If I allowed myself to be involved with someone and I was to measure them up against my idea of who this dream man is, let's say if there were 10 things, he'd have to be hitting 7 or 8 of them. And I would have to, and I would only couple with him, I would only take a chance with him, knowing that he has the potential to be that person consistently. Now, you know, there's going to be a fluctuation in times where, you know, you might forget to do something or, you know, but you definitely can't have the type of you can't have the type of behaviors where it's more than likely you're gonna begin to take me for granted or take advantage of me. No, you're gonna
okay,
have.
Okay, wait, stop. Let's wait. Okay, let's stop. Let's go back to the dream piece, though. Let's go back to the. We gotta stay asleep for a minute, because that's what dreams. You know, we always laugh. That's what dreams sleep.
Well,
you know, we
want to talk about dreams. It's ironic that we're talking about this dream mate, because last night I had a dream that I recently married the guy down the block. I don't know where that came from. My friend Rochelle said on Facebook that I should get what is that called, Big Red Book? I guess it's a dream book where you get numbers out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Now, I'm curious to know, was he my dream? Was he my dream mate? I would have never known that.
When I hear you talk about what you just were saying, though, you're telling me that we don't believe we're going to have our dream mate in the first. We never believe we can have that anyway.
I think we start with an idea. Everything starts with an idea. You got to have an idea. So if you were to sit down and write a list of things that you would want this person to, the makeup of this person, you'd say, I'd want them, you know, more than likely you'd say, I'd want him to be handsome. I'd want him to have a great personality. I'd want him to be a hard worker. I'd want him to love children. I want him to, you know, I'd want him to be adventurous. I'd want him to be affectionate. You start with this idea. And then when you date and meet people, you compare who's in front of you to this idea.
Okay.
And that's usually what happens.
Here's a question for you. Let's go back to my friend. So let's say that you got a chance to experience the ideal, meaning pretty much this guy was the guy. He got away. But you have the opportunity to experience a real human in your presence over a period of time that exhibited what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So now, what happens to any future guys that you run into if you actually had the experience?
Well, what usually happens is that this person now is all the future people, all the present and future people get compared to the person who came close. Who was that? Who actually was that idea?
So that idea of God.
Also, what happens? Let us not
forget
this piece. What usually happens is that we kick ourselves in our behind. We're mad as hell
right.
to ourselves that we let this person slip out of our grip.
Right. Well, here's my thing, though. Based upon the scenario, though, that she gave me, I had questions that she couldn't even answer, obviously, because she didn't know them. But my thing is, when you came up with this dream guy and you actually said you met him and then he got away, how do you know that he would have been able to measure up to you and your full everyday self outside of the nice, cozy confines of the perfect dates that you were having?
Well,
Because he was perfect in a very perfect scenario. It wasn't very real world in a sense, based upon what I understand anyway. I never got information that would suggest it was like the wear and tear of being in your house, being with you, being around your family members, friends, and other things on a regular basis, dealing with how you feel in the morning, dealing with how you actually look when you get out the mirror in the morning, dealing with all the reality parts of you. Because
said
he was crazy about her, but my position was, but again, I don't want to diminish that because I think it's great, but I'm saying the reality is we all have been out with that person that was dressed to the nines. And then at some point we became intimate with them and they kind of was way far, they wasn't as close to the nines as they was, you know, on the street as they are in the bed. So then you might see something. You might wake up next to this person. They ain't the same.
Well,
when you're in a house with them, they might not keep house the way. Meaning, because when you came over the house a couple of times, you had house kept. Do they know how house is kept when you ain't there? when you're out there on a regular basis, I mean. So it's just things that I'm saying that, you know, when I have this, the thing, and I think for everybody, when you come up with this ideal person, and here's the thing, and in our situation is different, but my question would be for anybody else that came up with the ideal dream person would be this. If you come up with the dream person, how do you know the dream person going to like you? Like that.
You know, I'm
like,
gonna.
Like what makes you the dream? What makes you the dream counterpart?
Here's the thing. You know, Richard Pryor, without being as graphic, of course, as he was, he said something in his movie Live on Sunset Strip that was very profound, and he said, it's a hard thing to find somebody to love your ass, you know. But when you do, hold on to that person for dear life. Because, you know, if you find somebody that could deal with you day in and day out, you're not always looking so good sometimes, and, you know, you got your little mood swings going on. But for the most part, it's ride or die with you. That's the person that you put your energy into. That's the person that you give the keys to the kingdom or the queendom. You know, that's the person that you give access to yourself. And I think oftentimes we get caught up with that idea that we have in our head about that dream mate. That's an idea. That is an idea. If we get if that idea comes close to the earth's surface and lands in our personal space, and we have the opportunity to embrace it, and then watch it function and watch how it operates in our personal space, and that works out well, rock out with that.
Well, again, it's not just an idea. It's an ideal. It's based upon everything being right, the environment, everything, because, again,
everything is not always right.
Well, that's why we call it a dream guy. That's why they're a dream. That's why we're a dream guy.
Some things become right over time. And it also relies on that person or those people investing and exhibiting patience to see if things are going to become right over time.
But the dream guy or girl is right off the box. So see, you got to remember that. Again, let's get back to the operative word, dream. Okay? So a dream is ideal. It's like you get a chance to create. It's like if you told somebody to go in and create what you wanted. That's why that's what they are. So then what happens when you run into the guy that's actually on the piece of paper that you put together? Because most of us already know, we'll go ahead and humor ourselves. If somebody gave us a project to do, we'll go ahead and write it. It's like you ask some kids, if you wanted anything, if you could have anything in the world, what would you want? And money is not an object, And then people will just say, okay, then they'll start telling you all kind of stuff. If you ask somebody what they could afford, then they're usually going to say something a little different, okay? And a dream is when I say to you, no restrictions. You have whatever it is that you say. It's like if you ever remember looking at I Dream of Jeannie, and it comes on antenna TV or whatever here in Houston, and I watch it. And it's so funny. She said, well, Master, what do you want? But the funny thing about it is a lot of times when he says what he wants, he's not even 100% super, super specific about it. So guess what? She'll bring him, bam, it'll pop up.
Okay, but again, for the sake of, you know, not belaboring this, because, again,
we got to belabor it now.
It's an idea.
We got to belabor it.
I'm sorry?
So we got to belabor it a little bit. Come on now.
Listen, the idea the idea of the dream mate. If you, again, I said, if this dream mate landed on the earth surface in your personal space and was able to operate within the confines of your life, and that's comfortable for you, then embrace that and rock out with that. But if the person that lands in your personal space is not the dream, but he comes or she comes pretty damn close, you better rock out with that. Because we don't give any chances at the dream. It's hard for me to operate in hypotheses. I have a hard time with that.
But fine, I know it's hard, so I need you to do something that's hard for you. That's what I'm asking. I agree. Most of us can't really live in that place, but we come up with these ideas because, again, back to the woman that came up with this, that met this guy. What happens now is, and I always tell everybody, you don't know that you've met this woman who already has an idea of her dream guy when she meets you, even if she met him or she didn't meet him. You are up against the dream guy because the dream guy is in her head or his head. So you don't know this because usually people ain't going to tell you what their dream person is. But make no mistake, you're under the watchful eye of the dream guy, always.
Well, I tell you what, why don't we take a caller? There's a caller calling in from the 414 area code. So we'll bring them on the line.
A caller.
I'm sorry?
Indeed.
Yeah, let's bring a caller on the line and see what they have to say. Welcome to the Bree Life Radio Show. This is your girl Bree with Mark Seddy, and we're talking about the dream mate tonight.
Hello, I'm just tuning in. I caught just recently caught some of what you all were talking about, I guess, concerning a dream mate and whether you can recognize them or let them go because maybe you didn't recognize them. Is that where you guys are?
Let me give you just the scenario. The scenario was this. A woman, we were talking about earlier, this woman that I knew had this guy for like 9 months, and they had no sexual intimacy and nothing. They dated. They went on a date twice a week, and they went on this date twice a week, and it was out to dinner, to dancing, to club, whatever, but there was no intimacy. She never set a foot in his house. He came to her house maybe twice in 9 months and waited, basically was there for short periods of time, I guess, on their way out. So he would come in while she was trying to, I guess, get ready. So they would go out, all of these places. He wanted to be in a relationship with her. She told him she was not at that place at this time, but she really liked him. The 9 months went by. They ended up parting ways. She looks back, sees he had everything that she wanted. Now, the question would be, are the guys that come after him measured by, and what are they going to have to deal with the dream scenario? And before you answer that, bro, I want you to answer this. What's the likelihood that a man would do 9 months of no intimacy, just dates? To me, that almost sounds like a dream in and of itself.
Yeah, that's a dream in itself. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that looks like.
I just want to hear, before you even deal with the fact that he was a dream guy, let's talk about the fact that he dated for two times a week, so that's 8 times a month for 9 months.
He was a dream in, and he
No. I mean, when I looked at her face and she told me what she was being straight. let's talk about that one piece first. What's the likelihood of a man in this day and age dating a woman for 9 months, there's no intimacy, and we just go on dates every week?
Why wasn't there any intimacy? Was that because of her or because of him?
Because of her.
Oh,
and
boy.
Your question is, does the guys after him suffer or have because of they're measured by this person?
Well, this is what the deal was, from what I understand. He wanted a relationship with her.
Right, and she didn't. So what are you asking me about, him or the guys that come after him?
Well, two. The first question was, what's the likelihood of a man doing 9 months with a woman, taking her out, going places, all this kind of stuff, but no intimacy for two, for, and, yeah.
Mm.
Well, you know, all of those things are measured by people's personal, you know, standards and belief systems and morals. You know, it might be a guy who practices a certain religion, and maybe he, you know, sex wasn't going to be what he measured the relationship on. Or if not the case, though, me, I ain't sticking around 9 days.
I think 9 days is still a little too, if I could say so myself.
Yeah, I'm graduating, son, but, I'm not waiting that long, because I think that when you want somebody or you like somebody outside of some type of principle that gauge you, then, you know, most people wouldn't. And the reason probably would be is that that person is just not that into you, you know. And if you don't pick up on the signs, if you don't recognize, like, what are you pretending not to know? If you, you know. This person, the all the contact is out in public. Visitation at each other's house is minimum, if at all. And then no intimacy, no physical sexual intimacy. This guy was just filling the shoes until the person that she really wants comes along. And then you got to ask yourself about the woman, you know, because a lot of women. A lot of women say they want Mr. Right. You know, it's been my experience. They say Mr. Right, and you cater to all their needs, and you still ain't the one. So, you know, and so I think for the man, for me, the lesson that I learned from that is
that. On the flip side, too, bro, I don't even try to make that seem as though that's the isolated activity that, you know, or exercise that women, you know, go through with men. We experience the same thing because we make ourselves available. We're inviting. We're fun. You know, we're inventive. We're exciting. We cook. We do a lot of stuff. And then at the end of all of that, it does not result in things going to another level.
And you know what?
Unfortunately, that's the chance that we all take.
Some women do those things right away, just like men do certain things right away to try to prove that they are the one. And so, like, you know, the man, he probably wanted to have sex but didn't have sex because he's trying to show her that he's Mr. Right. And one thing one thing always shines through is honesty, you know, like truth. Like if you ain't being true to thy own self, that's going to show through in some kind of way, and the other person is going to pick up on that spirit like something just ain't right about this person. He got this quality or she has these qualities, but it's just something that's missing, and that's something I believe is because that person is not really being true to themselves because They're more interested in making the acquisition than they are in making the acquisition to the right person, of the right person. So, like, desperation breeds degradation. In other words, in desperation in this day and age, we want somebody, we need somebody, we don't want to be lonely no more. So when somebody bites, especially after they ain't been biting in a while, then we try not to let the fish off the hook, you know, male or female, you know. And so we may overlook some things or go outside of who we really are in order to make that acquisition. You know, and you know, some, you know, a lot of times if you make the acquisition, it usually falls apart in the end because that's just representation, you know, and then the real you shows up later in real situations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like the closer you get, the more transparent you become. So the more time I spend with you, the more transparent, and, you know, you might leave the cap off the toothpaste. You know, you ain't going to find that out until we get real close, you know.
Okay, but can I ask you something, Carla? You know,
yeah.
You said something very poignant right now, and that mm-hmm. is that the more time you spend with a person, the more transparent you both mm-hmm. become to one another.
Right.
Now, once this transparency has revealed itself, and
yeah.
you start to see some things about this person that is just not right.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, you know, they have these hypersensitive ways about how they live, the kind of access they give to you,
mm-hmm.
all those things. How would you feel and how would you negotiate that?
If they show me some things that I don't like,
things that you don't like, or if, like I said, in the discovery of the transparency, once that's revealed to you, and you begin to see and feel and be treated in a way that is not, it's customary to what a couple is supposed to be.
Well, it's time to go. It's time to go. If I'm in it for a relationship and being a couple with someone and I'm getting less than that, it's my responsibility, not the person. Because people will hang around, like Marcella was saying, he's a good guy, got good qualities and fun to hang out with. But if you're looking for more than that, then, you know, but you keep settling for that, people treat you like you teach them. So if you allow it, then they say, in their mind, that translates as it's okay. You know, I can get away with this. All I need to do is call him when I want to go out, call him when I want a dinner date, call him when I want to go to the movies, call him, you know. But he's not going to have access to my apartment. I'm not coming over his apartment. We're not having sex. We're not spending the night. He ain't need no family. He ain't come to no Christmas dinner. You settle for that. That's on the man. That's on the person.
That doesn't sound like a dream to me. That sounds like a person who's a placeholder.
That's a nightmare. Yeah, that turned into something horrible.
But see, this is the point. The point was his attributes. Let's get this straight. His attributes, his behavior, the way he carried himself and treated her, she considered him the type of guy when she was ready for a relationship. Mm-hmm. That guy would have been the guy. So she told him. She told him during the whole process. That's what I asked about him, not about her, because she told him.
I'm gonna start getting calls from the ladies because they're gonna be like, "Oh, you taking the brother's side again?"
Well, let me just say that this experience that you all are talking about is something that I went through, not for 9 months, but very similar for 3 years.
Oh damn!
Now. This is what I'm saying. We had sex, we spent time, and we were a couple when we were together. The part, and I was looking for a relationship because I considered it a relationship because we spent all of our time together. the part where she didn't want it to be a relationship is the type of relationship she wasn't ready for, and that was a committed relationship which consists of accountability and deeper essential things,
After 3 years?
Now, So what I'm speaking on is from an experience that I learned from, It's like everything was good when we were together. And I became so desperate to try to make this woman, lock this woman down, that I suffered abuse, emotional abuse at her hands. And the thing was, it was like a roller coaster ride. It was real good when it was good, but it was bad when it was bad. And I spent so much of my time joined to her time, I would be at her house cleaning up and my house would be junky. I would come home just to change to go over to her house, because she needed me, and I was trying and it felt so good when it was good, but then I felt so bad when we fell out and she wasn't really feeling nothing because she didn't want that type of relationship where, hey, where you at? Who is that guy you with? Like if it's your woman or your man, then you got a right to ask certain questions, like who is this guy calling?
What?
Who,
okay.
I have to say something. If you're in a committed relationship, you do.
I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. Here's the thing. To go back to what you said about the time factor. I'm having a problem, and I don't care if it's the woman doing it to the man doing it to the woman. I'm speaking for myself. Don't waste my time. If you don't know in a couple of months whether or not you feeling me for us to go to the next level, then you need to tell me that and let me go on about my business. You're not going to drag me down some path for 9 months, 10 months, a year and a half, 3 years in your situation.
This thing
is not evolving.
Yeah.
I hold that guy that Mark is talking about accountable, but I also hold this woman accountable.
She's not accountable. You know why?
No. She probably don't want to take accountability, but I hold her accountable too because I believe it sounds to me that she was dragging her feet, waiting to see, and also waiting to see if something better was to come along.
I don't think that she was.
I'm not talking about your situation right now. I'm talking about this situation that Mark has presented tonight.
I think that existed in my situation, but what I'm saying is we don't know that. And here's the thing: it ain't the other person's fault. It's like the old timers used to say: first time same on me, second time same on first time same on you, second time same on me. So here's the thing: the only person that has a responsibility to make my life happy is me. I'm talking about responsibility. That woman, from what I understand, she expressed a strong liking for this brother, but she wasn't ready. Already stated.
Okay, when you're not ready, you should pass the threshing floor because you're blocking somebody's blessing. You're blocking somebody else's blessing. You're blocking the possibility of that person coupling up.
Let me ask you a question real quick. So if you tell somebody honestly what you feel and they stay around, when you tell them,
honestly what you feel, why are you not?
That's how people get to, like, you know, that song that you always reference in songs. You know, Jasmine Sullivan, I bust the windows out your car. You know,
you admittedly had friends that were friends of yours.
And when I say I put you in the friend zone, I make it clear that you are in the friend zone and you ain't coming out of there.
Okay, so let's say you do that, and they agree to it. Now, remember, a man is a hunter, so being a hunter, he still believes he can hold out hope, even if it ends up not being that way.
And every time his behavior indicates that he's trying to seep out of the friend zone, I'd be like, We're not going to stay in the friend place. I can't be around you.
But what if he doesn't step out of the friend zone? What if he plays along? He still got his feelings. He's a respectful man. But ultimately, you kind of know how he feels, but he never crosses the line.
Then we're friends. And that's how we're conducting ourselves.
Look, and to some extent, that's how they were conducting themselves.
That's not what you made this sound like, though.
Well, no, I am. This is what I said. I'm going to say it again. He let her know how he felt. She let him know how she felt. And they continued to see each other, knowing how both each of the people felt. No lines were crossed. No intimacy was had. They were out socially twice a week. And this went on for 9 months.
Bree, she ain't had to tell him. She told him about
what she was doing.
He didn't have to say nothing. It's his responsibility. He can't see that. That's why I say desperation breeds degradation. You degrade yourself out of desperation, and you pretend not to notice what you see. So when the flags are there, you know you ain't getting what you want out the deal, but you play like you don't know that, and you ignore the facts. And in desperation, you proceed anyway, trying to convince somebody to do something that you want them to do, but you don't recognize that you're powerless over other people. You can't make them do nothing you want to do.
You're absolutely right about that.
And I agree with that
100%. But there are foul people in the world that know that they don't.
If the person don't volunteer for the position, man. You need to recognize. It don't take a genius to not run into a burning building. And if you was in the burning building and you run out, don't run back in one. You know, some things are common sense, but desperation will make you do things that you know you ain't got no business for. And it ain't on the person, because, like I said, if you dependent on somebody else to tell you to turn left when you should be turning right, you're gonna be in trouble all the time. So it's up to me, it's up to you, it's up to each individual to say, you know what, this is what I'm looking for, and recognize whether they're getting it or not.
And my point is that sometimes if they're not getting it, excuse me.
Well, you can't, I got to finish the sentence.
Yeah, but I keep trying to say something, you're not hearing me out. Sometimes a selfish person will allow themselves to be in a situation because it's comfortable for them, regardless of them communicating to the other individual that, hey, I'm not feeling you this way.
They're
getting the benefit of the time, the company, the resources.
Well, that's on you. That's on her. That's on the brother. If he can continue to
tell him,
but you know what?
Just
because you tell somebody that and you still behaving in that fashion, that's all right. No, that ain't all right.
No.
He's a fool.
They're both stupid.
Well, wait a minute. How? Because think about this. Think about this, Bree. You
he
tell somebody.
He's subvesting himself, that man.
The
person that keeps telling him that I'm not feeling you.
You
and she's dead ass wrong for just taking the time, the money, the attention, because she's trying to either figure it out or wait until something that is ideal for her or her dream to come along. And that's wrong. That's wrong. And I don't care what you guys say to me.
Okay.
That is not going to make me feel any different.
No. Wait a minute, Bree. Let me say this real quick to her. So check this out. We're not saying that, Bree. We understand what you're saying. But what we are talking about, we're talking about consenting adults. So let's get something straight. We're not talking about a child that's being misled about something. It's like this. If you tell me that you're not going to allow certain behaviors with me, but you still let me have certain behaviors, you're laying the ground rules. You're saying, Mark, you can have this, but you can't have that. It's kind of like if you come into my house and say, you can sit in my living room, you cannot come in my bedroom. So like you said, the bedroom door is open, you keep going in there, why can't I come in? Wait a minute. I told you, you cannot come into the bedroom. So now, if you get up and come into my bedroom, you are violated. Now you're telling me, well, you kind of suggesting, Bree, that if you leave the bedroom door open, you're enticing them. We're not dealing with an adult now. We're not dealing with no impetuous child. We're talking about an adult. You agreed
That's
to
right.
the game. Now you're going to get
right.
mad at the rules?
I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this from a different vantage point that I don't know that you all understand. If this situation for this woman went horribly wrong, this man could snap because even though she was being forthright with telling him that I'm either not ready or I'm not feeling this way about you and all that stuff, but yet she's spending time with him. It is sending mixed signals. And sometimes there are certain people in the world you can't send mixed signals with. That's a very dangerous thing.
And
now,
you're right.
Right or wrong.
You're right about that, Bree. People can
That's the point that
day.
I'm trying to make.
But
it could go horribly wrong for her.
Okay. Yeah. But what we're saying is, I guess we're approaching it, I'm approaching it from the perspective of being responsible for my own individual happiness and not blaming, like, because we want to talk about, like, mature adults. Only an immature adult would find the fault in the person and make them feel like he's been misled because they shifted the responsibility to the other person to make the decision for them. But we grown-ups. We make decisions for ourselves.
Yeah, but also look at the world the way it is right now. And look how good many dysfunctional relationships there are because people don't take responsibility for their actions. They are not forthright in their intentions. And horrible things go wrong.
We agree with that.
And that happens more times than not.
I'm going to let y'all got it. I'll just, okay.
But here's the thing. That is a given. That's a given. The given is that the person, we know we live in a world like that, but that could happen even in a relationship where, you know, y'all in a real relationship, you agree to be in this relationship, and a person snaps out. And they feel wrong and they feel. I was going under the premise, and based upon the fact of the information that she gave me, and not only that she gave me, I've been in situations myself where I understood that my desires were not the same desires as the person I was sitting in front of, but I continued to engage. Then I stopped engaging at a certain point because I realized that at that point that it wasn't going to be anymore. So what I think the brother was suggesting is that we are giving a situation based upon the information we were given. We're not given a situation that the guy was emotionally out of control and he wasn't whatever. He seemed to be going along with this, even though he wanted something different. And guess what? Even when we're dating people, that happens. Meaning, like, for instance, you're dating somebody, you want it to be more serious than it is. So let's say y'all are having whatever relationship y'all having. You've been in relationships like this where you wanted a little more out of the relationship, or the guy you were in a relationship wanted a little more. But you were not ready for that till you were able to get into that part. Okay, let's say, for instance, having kids or something. Let's say you're in a relationship and you're not ready for kids yet. And you let them know that. So they say, I'm going to stay anyway because I still care about this person the way I care about them, but they're telling me this is not what they want. But, yes, I still want it because I let them know that, but we're going to put that aside. And I think that's what this gentleman did. He knew what he wanted from her. He told her that. But evidently there was something about her that he liked enough. He was getting something
to try to rock out until hopefully something – positive happened.
Or he might have had somebody on the side that was fulfilling his other needs. See, one thing we know about this, especially adult men that are doing, they have options. We all have options.
Well, we know that men have options because the freestyle that I brought to the table tonight shows that a man was exercising his options. That's how people get down.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's just, you know, quite perplexing to me how it can go on that long. I don't think it's all right for a couple of months, but when you're going into a year doing this, you know, behaving like that, I don't think that's healthy for either party.
Okay, so here's the thing. If we are both enjoying what we are doing with each other, so it's kind of like you have something over here, I have something over here, but in the middle we have what we do have together. What we have together, we enjoy. So we keep doing what we enjoy, even if there are other things that I would like to see and other things you would like to see. So we have that common ground. So their camaraderie, their enjoyment of similar taste in similar places brought them together. And that's what they did. He imagined and envisioned something more than she did. But they discussed it and continue to be willing to interact like they did. What I'm saying is, I think it's my thing that I thought, and again, I said it from the beginning, my thing that I thought was interesting was that he was willing to do that because I don't know a whole lot of men who would have done it. That's all I was saying. You know,
well,
it wasn't so much.
I think he showed a lot of patience, and he obviously liked her very much and respected her very much, which is, you know, admirable on his part. But that's really not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just how long it went on, and they both wanted two different things out of the situation.
Yeah.
I think that they allowed maybe the liking for one another to really get in the way, and they probably could have been better coupled with somebody else.
And guess what I think happened, though? When I look at it, though, it seemed like that did happen because he moved on. So it was 9 months, not 9 years. So
3 years.
Right. However, he moved on. But my point was more about the fact that, number one, I don't know a whole lot of men who would have done that unless they had some other things going on. So that could have made sense why he did what he did. But more than that, we started off the show about the whole issue of dream one, is that when she looked at the attributes that he had, even his patience were things she sought for in a perfect guy, because it kind of mitigated probably some of her things, because usually we look for somebody to kind of you know, balances off. Because we always talk about all these things that we want a person. We usually don't want to date somebody like us. So that's not true. We usually don't. Because we know how many times we were irritated with ourselves. We
right.
know it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know that. So when she looked at his attributes, his ability to be kind, to be considerate, to be patient, to be funny, to be engaging, to be intelligent, I'm assuming he looked good. So let's say to be handsome. When she put all those things together, he was the guy she would have liked to be with. She wasn't ready for it. And as we have discussed many times before, sometimes it's about, it could be the right guy in the wrong time. Could be the wrong time. So, and based upon what she was telling me, it seems like she would have wished when she was ready, he was available. That's what she wanted. She liked him.
I said earlier, that often happens when sometimes when we realize that we were in the presence of our dream or as close to our dream as we possibly ever going to get, it's always after the fact. It's always after we've made a mistake in judgment. And
but that brought me to this thing, though, Bree. That's what brought me to the next thing, which was, so now what happens to you? So like, let's say you've had that similar experience where you found out that the guy, his attributes and everything was unbelievable. You like that. But now imagine with the guy that comes along after him and has got to deal with. Because now you, it's not, because some of us have only had it in our dream. You actually had it in your face. So you know that how it feels to have it, and you know that it's possible to have it. So now it ain't just a dream. And so now Johnny come lately walks down the street, smiling at you, and you digging him to some extent, but you got the chart out. You got the chart out. You know?
Yeah, well.
And that's all I'm saying. You know, I mean, you know, that's all I'm saying, Bree. I mean, and again, I think about what the brother Mark was saying when he was saying, she ain't wrong. She wants what she wants, just like she wanted what he wanted. She wanted the time, but she didn't want the commitment and she didn't want the relationship. She told him that. He wanted something different. So him being a lunatic, freaking out and going off, well, I'm going to tell you this. You know, we've had enough situations where people snapped out after we got into a real relationship with them. So,
oh, yeah.
Like you see what I'm saying? So yeah, I don't, and again, my assumption when I meet people and choose to continue to interact with them is that we have certain levels of understanding and common decency, and there's a certain level of emotional and mental wellness. When I see that there isn't that, then I make different decisions. Because that's all, it goes back to what we were saying earlier when we talk about the World Trade Center and we talk about these other things about safety and security. It's an illusion because we never really know. We never know who we're with, truly.
Well,
we never,
you know, if I may say, because
mm-hmm.
I've seen, you know, I'm not 20 years old anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I was younger up until about 5 years ago. I always looked for the best in people. That's what I've always expected. But I've since grown up. And I'm not saying that I've turned from optimistic / idealistic person, because I got to sprinkle that in there too, because I was, versus now being pessimistic. No, I just like to think that I have a little more wisdom and I'm making better choices and I pay attention and I listen to people a lot more than I did in the past. And I observe people. And in doing so, I just try to be very careful when I'm dealing with people and their emotions, because we live in such a stressful world now where things are so uncertain and people are looking for something to have hope in. And they're looking, they're reaching, even though, you know, they might have a spiritual connection to their creator, they want something here on earth. And usually that means that they're looking to connect to another human being. And when they can't do it the way they want to, or the way they was hoping or expecting to, you can see a very different side of that individual. And that's why it's so very important to have clear and concise communication, because, I mean, look, the worst can happen even when you are honest, when you are forthright. But,
okay. You
know, you still have to be careful when you're dealing with people's emotions, because people might seem very stable and calm and rational until they get their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
Until they get their behind on their shoulders, and then you see a different side to a person.
Yeah. But again, back to the point. The point is we do what we think is the best. We have our instinct, we have our intelligence, and we can have our emotional compassion. Based upon what I'm hearing her say to me, though, I am assuming there was levels of compassion and understanding and clear communication. So, based upon that, if he was doing that and she was doing that, then guess what? That means that he made a decision to be there for what it is. And from what I understand, it don't even sound like, and I don't know, but she didn't make any statements that suggested he was trying to push up on her anyway.
Mm-hmm.
After she let him know where she was. So more than likely, he was trying to do like a lot of people do. If you really, really like somebody, but you understand that they're not where you want them to be, it would make sense that, hey, you still hold out hope. I haven't been there before, so I know how it can be. You know, it wasn't 9 months, but I understood that I hope. So what happened was, I didn't see the woman twice a week. I saw her, you know, I mean, I saw her once a month or maybe that. Talked to her probably several times a week, and I liked her a lot. She knew that she didn't want that. She knew she didn't want that. But I dubbed the hell out of her. But what started happening for me was I knew I wanted more from her, and I knew that I was available to her way more than I should be for my emotional place and what my desire was. So what I did was I stopped being available like that because I felt that she was not capable at that time of giving me what I wanted. But she was honest. She was honest. Now, I didn't have my share of people that wasn't honest about how they really felt. But in this particular situation, this woman was honest and a cool-ass person, could hang out with them, beautiful, all of that. All of that. But guess what? She didn't want that. And she liked me. She liked me. Really like me. That's not what she wanted. Now, my belief was there was some unresolved thing she had for someone else. Just by talking to her, I just felt that's what it was. And in a way, I think she was doing me a favor. You know what I'm saying? She was doing me a favor because she wasn't past that person, I felt. So because of that, she continued to have the relationship interaction that she wanted to have with me. There was no intimacy at all. I was unbelievably turned on by her. I liked her a lot. But what I started realizing was, okay, when you want something, you can hold out for it. But at some point, back to what Mark was saying, and what I am saying, is that you see that this is not what it is. And you can't be mad at her. I'm so fine. I could be a wacko crazy. But if I'm that damn crazy, then here's my question. What was she getting into when she got into a relationship with me? So now what happens if I want to break up with her? I mean, she wants to break up with me. because we've all been in relationships that we broke up, right? So now what's going to happen? She going to be dead then. So that's all we were saying. We were just saying the whole issue of they're responsible, and they were agreeing to go in on it. She did not deceive him, that I know of anyway, and he accepted what she offered. When she in turn saw after it was over, because I don't know how they stopped being connected, because I don't even know that. But however they stopped being connected at the end of the 9 months, she looked back on that with fondness and a desire to be with them. And she told me this, that she tried to find them. That she tried to find them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he's going to, she's trying to find him.
She's trying to find him?
No. She didn't say she was trying to find him. She said she tried to at some point.
Oh, okay.
After they lost contact, she tried to find him. And she couldn't. You know, but because when she looked back on the fondness of that.
That it wasn't meant for them to be together.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, life is not over yet, so therefore, who knows what's going to happen? You know, who knows? But my point was, at least in the time period that they had with each other up to this point, it didn't come out that way. That's what we do know for sure. But the thing is, which is back to the beginning of the show, and I know we're getting ready to wrap now, is about the whole issue of the dream guy or the dream girl. And the reality of it is that I do believe this, that everyone has their ideal, and some of us have had a chance to experience our ideal. And I just wonder how it may feel once we've experienced our ideal to deal with those who come after that ideal experience. Because you know how that was. It's almost kind of like that first love. Do you ever love that hard again? You know? And, you know, it's like that old song that I think it was Dionne Warwick, I think one of the songs. I know I'll never love this way again, I think.
Mm.
She said that. You know, and again, my position is I don't have to love the same way because there's new freshness and great beauty in this new love that I have for this new person. The problem I feel is when we do get into comparison anyway. That's the problem. The problem is the person don't have to be. If there's anything that I know about the ideal person is, it ain't necessarily any damn way. Because you're creating the ideal person, but you don't know some things about yourself that you would never know until you're in the presence of certain people. So while you create this ideal person, what you need to understand is there may be a person that's ideal for you, which is not the same as that, the person that you think is ideal for you. And that's Mark said it. And I enjoy everybody for being on the show tonight. And we're coming to a close. And Bree, I don't know, in the last, I don't know, 60 seconds or less, you had anything you wanted to say?
I just want to thank everyone for listening and calling in. I want to thank our caller, Mark, for calling in and giving his insight into this subject. And we want to ask everyone to come back next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Bree Life Radio Show at www.blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life. Until then, peace and blessings. And we're out.
Yeah, yeah. Adrian. In the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yeah, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, hope you ain't fragile. Through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of Bree. Breaking down in the mouth to the third degree. This is the Bree life, what you live in life. Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life. From politics
coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised, living life and breathing life. It's for real, baby.